And I want to read a little bit, and I tell you what. You know, as I said, sometimes God cuts the crowd down. You say, Brother Pike, where did you ever know of God cutting the crowd down? Well, I just made mention, you know, how that God took Philip away from a citywide revival and sent him to one unit when he was having a tremendous time. But there were other places when he started in to pray for the little girl that was dead, to raise her from the dead. Brother Benny cut the crowd down.
Right, right.
And when he went up on the Mount of Transfiguration, he cut the crowd. Right. And I mean, it was disciples, too. He cut them down.
Yeah, right.
And then over there, when he started to preaching the revelation about, unless you drink of my blood, eat of my flesh, the Bible said 70 of them went away, and I don't know how many of them all, but he cut the crowd down.
Right.
And the reason he did that, you say, Brother Pike, they just wandered off. No, the Bible said the preparation of man's heart is from God. He prepared their heart to leave because they wasn't able to receive what he wanted to give to them.
Right.
That's what he was. He took his disciples away in a mounting along and expounded the word. And they asked him this question. They said, Lord, said, why is it that you speak to these people in parables? And he said, for it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. So then, if you'll notice, he said, it's not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Right.
Now see, it was given unto them to know the word of God, but when it come to the revelation of Jesus Christ, which was the hidden matter that we spoke of last night, he said, it is not given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God.
Amen.
Somebody said, well, Brother Pike, the Bible isn't a mystery. The Bible said it's so plain a wayfarer's food. Can understand it? You ain't never read no scripture in the Bible where it said the scriptures were so plain a wayfarer's food could understand it. There ain't no such teaching in the Bible. The Bible said there is a highway and a way. And Jesus said, I'm that way. And said, there shall an erring fool or a wayfarer fool shall never err into this path. He'll never even run across this path. And all of his drunkenness and stumbling in and out the barroom and stumbling in and out the place. He might stumble in the church. But Jesus said, the eyes of the vulture has never seen it. And though a man be a wayfaring fool, he shall not err thereinto. He'll never even run across it, Jesus said. Now he might run across a lot of things and stumble into a lot of places, but he'll never run across that holy way. Now Paul said, I am a steward of the mysteries of God. He said, great is the mystery of godliness. For God was manifested in the flesh. John 4:24, God the Spirit. He was seen of angels and caught up into heaven. You say, Brother Pike, do you mean to tell me that God was actually seen of angels? Jesus told him over there one time when Nathanael came to him. He looked at him and he said, an Israelite indeed in whose mouth there is no guile. And Nathanael said, from whence do you know me? He said, well, I saw you when you was on the fig tree over there. I saw you before you ever come around the mountain. They said it's miles around the mountain, and yet he saw him back over under the fig tree. And so then we know that God knows all things. And Jesus said, you marvel at this when they marvel. He said, you marvel at this. He said, you just wait. He said, heaven's going up and open up, and the angels of God will come from heaven, and you'll see them ascending and descending on the Son of Man. That's right. The Bible said that God was manifested in the body of His Son, Jesus Christ, and that body which was God was seen of angels. Is that right? And He was caught up into heaven. The Bible says He was. Hallelujah. So then, tonight, as the brother said here, in the beginning was what? What was it? What was it? In the beginning,
word.
What was it?
Word.
It was the Word. And you know what? The Bible said He's the beginning.
Right.
And what else does it say about Him? It says He's the end. If in the beginning was the Word, I'll tell you what I'm looking for in the end.
The Word.
The Word. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. I believe if the Word was in the beginning, that's going to be having an end. Praise the name of the Lord. You know, I want to read a little bit here from St. John and talk about the Word tonight. And I appreciate the reception that I've got, and you know that you don't let it move you because of conditions and people and those kind of things. You just listen to the Word and love the Lord. All right, in St. John chapter 1, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want to ask a question here. It said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Somebody tell me, who was the Word anyway? Who was the Word? In this world, who was the Word?
Jesus.
Are we sure? Jesus was the Word. I believe that He was, because the Bible said the Word was made flesh.
Right.
And it said, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and God was made flesh, manifested in the flesh.
Right.
He said, the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Now I'd like to stop right here too. It says here, the light shineth in darkness. You remember in the beginning, God said, let there be light.
Right.
And He said, in the evening time, it shall come to pass that there shall be light. And it says here, He said, the light shined in the darkness, and the darkness couldn't get a hold of it.
Man.
That's what it said. You know, comprehend means to get a hold of it. Couldn't grasp it. Couldn't understand it. Said it wasn't given unto them to know the mysteries of the kingdom.
Amen.
It shined. It was shining in the world. The light was down there shining. But the Bible said they couldn't comprehend it. They couldn't get a hold of it.
Amen.
Paul said that the eyes of your understanding might be enlightened, that you might be able to comprehend the heights, the depth, and the width. So then it said the darkness, which is the carnal mind, it just couldn't grasp the understanding of God. And the Bible said, when the world, by wisdom of the world, knew not God, though He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, but the Bible said, when they knew Him not, it pleased God that by the foolishness of preaching, men should be saved. They couldn't comprehend the light. And the Bible said He was right there with them. And by the wisdom of men, they knew not God. All right, it says here, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and the world knew Him not. Now then, I said just a little bit ago, it says in the book of Genesis that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, or He made the world. And here it says He was in the world, and the world was made by Him, and yet they never did recognize Him. They never did know Him. And it says, because they knew Him not as God and glorified Him not as God, He gave them over to a reprobate mind to believe a lie, be damned, and to do those things which are not convenient. But He says, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Praise God. The Bible said the wicked can't set the congregation of righteous. All right. It says here, but as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Gave He power to become the sons of God. I want you to notice that now. It says, but to as many as could receive Him, or did receive Him, or as many as could comprehend that He was God, the Bible said, unless you believe that I am He, shall die in your sins.
Amen.
But as many as could get their eyes open and know that that was the same Word that was the same God that was back yonder in the beginning, that created heaven and earth, and that had made himself flesh, and not only made himself flesh, but he was the light of the world while he was here.
Right.
And then he says to you and I, the Word became flesh, and I am the light of the world. But when I go to the Father, the Word will become flesh in you, and you will bear witness of that light, because you will become the light of the world. And so then it's the same God. He said, but as many as received him, to them gave he power. Gave he power. Now this is the thing I'd like us to think on tonight. The Bible said, to as many as received him, to them gave he power. Now I believe with all of my heart, Brother Ben, that the church world of today is supposed to have power.
Amen.
I just say, well, Brother Pike, I believe they got power. Did you know we're living in the atomic age? And did you know that everything natural out yonder in the world parallels the spiritual? And did you know that God has never at any time ever let any natural thing come to pass but what there wasn't a spiritual parallel with it? There has to be a spiritual counterpart somewhere. Paul said all of the invisible things of God from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things which do appear. I mentioned the other night how that God never let telephone come along until it was the age for that spiritual part of the body to be restored. He never let radio come along until it was the age when that spiritual part of the body was to be restored. He never let television come along until he come to the last age when he said young men shall see vision. There had to be the spiritual parallel with it. Everything, he never let the new homes come along with their modern convenience until it was time to make these spiritual temples into that perfect new house of glorification. Everything in the natural, Paul says it tells us what's happening in the spiritual. It tells us where we're at in the spirit if we look at it. He spoke of allegories and types and shadows. And he said all of these things are allegories and all of these things are types and shadows. He spoke about the two wives of Abraham. He said, and these are types and shadows. He said one of them was a woman of bondage. One of them was not Abraham's wife.
Right.
It was just a bondsmaid, but he took her. But that didn't change it. She was still a bondsmaid. She was not a free woman in the house of Abraham. So when her son was born into the world, she still had children that was under bondage, Brother Ben.
Right.
And the Bible said that that child of bondage, which was Ishmael, that mocked Isaac, said this entrance to Mount Sinai, which gendereth under bondage, which Jerusalem or Israel now is and is in bondage with her children, to laws and do's and don'ts of the elders. Tradition of the elders. But he said, Abraham's wife Sarah said she entereth to heavenly Jerusalem, which is the mother of us all, because she is the free woman.
Right,
she is the free woman. She entereth to that city of grace. And Paul said all of these things with allegories, types and shadows. Everything in this world is allegories. Everything in this world is types and shadows. There is a revelation in everything. God, who is a spirit, veils himself in the veil of humanity, in the veil of the tree, in the veil of human needs. He veils himself in a form of human needs that he might present himself to us in the form of our need, that we might glorify him as God in the form of our need. He comes to us as bread. He told him over there, Jesus told him one time, he spoke to them, and he said to them, he said, your fathers eat manna in the wilderness, but they're dead. He said, I was that bread. I was that bread. I'm the true bread that comes down from heaven. In other words, I veil myself as a spirit, God said, in the biscuit that you eat. That's God giving you life, he said. I gave you the breath of life. I'm the God that veil myself in a piece of bread to keep you alive. I'm the God that veil myself in a garment for you to put on your body. I'm the God that veil. trees that you might have something to build a house out of. And you can look long enough, and right out of that tree, God will step out. You can look long enough in that biscuit, you'll get a revelation. Look long enough in this book, you'll get a revelation. You look long enough in the stars, and God, the Spirit of revelation, will step right out of the stars. And you'll see Him. You'll see Him in the sun. You'll see Him in the moon. You'll see Him in the stars. See Him in the earth, in the house. Everything that's around us, you'll see God. Why? Because God is the Spirit. And He's veiled Himself in the form of humanity. And the Bible said at Calvary, the veil was rent in twain. Now the Bible speaks of the Old Testament. I quoted here the other night. It said, even until this very day, there is a veil over the minds of the people. In the reading of the Old Testament, He said, which veil is done away with in Christ? The veil is never taken off of this world, or never taken off the Old Testament, to where you can see the Old Testament is a type of the New, or where you can see the Old Testament is types and shadows of things to come. The veil is still over it until you get the mind of Jesus Christ. You don't get into Revelation. You got to have the mind of Jesus Christ. So He said here, as many as believed or received Him, to them gave He power. Where is the power that God gave to the church? They don't even have enough power to live a Christian life, to live an overcoming life. The church world today don't even have enough power to stay out of form-fitting clothes.
Nice.
They don't even have enough power to stay away from the products of the world and stay away from the filthy television screen and the lust of the flesh. They don't even have overcoming power today. They talk about casting out devils and opening blind eyes and unstopping deaf ears when they've never even received enough power to live a Christian life. The Bible said, after that you fill with the Holy Ghost, then ye shall be witnesses for me. Somebody said, well, I talk about Him all the time. That's not the way you witness for God. The Bible said you are an epistle that's known and read of all men. That's your witness to the world. He said, after that you receive the Holy Ghost, He said, then you can overcome. Then you can live a Christian life. Then the world will look at you and say that you are a light and a Christian. For He said, a light is not lit to be covered up by a bushel, but He said it's set up where everybody can see it. A city that's full of light that's set on a hill, you can see it for miles away, Jesus said. And so then He said, then shall you be witnesses for me. You say, why did He tell them? For the fact they were already witnesses. Did you know that before Peter received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, he stood and cursed and denied that he ever knew Jesus Christ.
Right.
He didn't have power to witness. He didn't have overcoming power. Peter was a good man, and he had potential.
Yes.
And one day Christ saw he could give him the keys to the kingdom. But Peter could not live an overcoming life. He couldn't hold up the testimony of Jesus Christ without the Holy Ghost. And nobody else can do it either.
Right. Amen.
The Bible teaches that fallen angels are greater in power and might than man is. If I have to battle with fallen angels as a man, then I've lost the battle. But if I'll take the Holy Ghost within my heart, He will give me the strength of Jesus Christ and make me the body of the Lord in power and faith to where I can overcome. And when I wrestle against powers and principalities and all of these other things, I will overcome. You say, why do you say that? Because that's the only way you're going to ever overcome. He said, to as many as believed, to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. Somebody said, but the Bible said, now, beloved, are we the sons of God. According to John's writings, he said, and He gave them power to become the sons of God. Is that right? Did I read it right? To them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's what He did. We are sons of God for the foreknowledge of God. He saw a finished work. He saw us predestinated. He saw us out to the end of the race. He saw that we were sons of God in His foreknowledge. Peter said, you are elect or sons of God before knowledge. But he went on to tell him, he said, if you do these things, you can prove whether or not you're a son of God. Somebody said, well, I know I'm a son of God. Peter said, to make sure your calling. Make your election and calling sure. Make sure that you're one of the elect. Make sure that you're one of the called. How? He said, by doing these things. He spoke of having patience, meekness, temperance, long-suffering, kindness, righteousness, all the fruits of the Spirit. He spoke of those things, of living an overcoming life. He said, if a man could live an overcoming life, it proved the nature of Jesus Christ was in him. If he cannot live an overcoming life, he does not have the nature of Jesus Christ. I don't care about the shouting and the speaking in tongues. I don't care about the coming to church and paying the tithe. If he cannot live an overcoming life, he is lost. Right. Over the book of Revelation, when the Bible speaks of the whoremonger, speaks of the prostitute, speaks of the drunkard, speaks of all of these other things, it also says the abominable and the fearful was shut outside the gates. You can go through life being afraid of this and afraid of that. Jesus said, why are ye fearful? He asked him on the ship, he said, why are you afraid? Behold, I give you power, he said, over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Behold, I give you power. Why are you fearful? Why are you afraid? The Bible said he gave them power to become. I've given you power, he said, over the powers of the enemy. This is the way that you become a son of God, is going through the test and the trials of your faith until the mind of Jesus Christ is perfected within you. And then the faith of that mind, which is the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God, will be shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost. And you will find that you are coming into the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus. You have power to become the sons of God. But if you submit to the devil, you've lost out in the race. If you submit to cancer, you're not a son of God. If you submit to TB, you're not a son of God. If you submit to wearing form-fitting clothes, you're not a son of God. Amen. That's right. If you submit to watching television and the filthy things on, you're not a son of God. Come on. It doesn't make any difference what crosses your path. If it's unlike the Word and it's condemned by the Word, if you are overcome by it, you're not a son of God. Because, he said, I gave them power to become the sons of God. That's the way we become the sons of God. From glory to glory to the fullness of the stature of the perfect man, Christ Jesus.
Amen.
If you get fearful, if you get afraid, you're not a son of God. Now I want you to get this now. If when you're down in the valley, if you get fearful, you get afraid, and you can't find overcoming faith, you're not a son of God. That would break the scriptures, and the Bible said the scriptures can't be broken to call you a son of God when you can't have victory and when you can't get out of the place that you're in. You say, but I'm weak, Brother Pine. You mean God would forsake the weak? The law of God is that the weak die and the strong live. You say, would God forsake a little weakling down there? He sure would. Why? Because he said, let the weak say that I'm strong. And be strong in the power of my might, which is the word of God. There's no reason for them to be weak.
Amen.
Since it's just by faith anyway, he doesn't require anything except for them to believe in the power of his word and deliver it. So there's no need for them to be weak. He said, if you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. And he said, your strength is the joy of the Lord. Is that right? If you faint in the day of adversity, your strength is small. You haven't been fasting. You haven't been praying. You haven't been seeking God. Haven't been calling upon the name of the Lord. He said, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That's all you got to do. You just ain't putting up no resistance. He said, the fearful and the abominable shall be shut outside the gates of the city. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. For as many have received him, to them gave he power. What kind of power? Overcoming power. I say, oh, they got power to open the blind eyes, got power to stop the deaf ears. While some of them fellas that spoke me doing that ain't even living right. They can't even leave whiskey alone.
Right.
They can't even overcome the bottle. They can't even overcome dope. They can't even overcome the love for the money and the things of this world. You tell me they got power to do that? What do you believe, Brother White? What do you believe? I believe that we're living in the days of grace, and I don't care if he's the low-down distiller that ever walked. He can take his jug. That man that came in here the other night that took the mic away from Brother Frank Taylor, if you hadn't known he was drunk, he could have stirred you up and caused you to believe. God had to work and you missed. Those fellas get music going, and the Bible teaches that when music comes in, that people begin to believe and the anointing of God comes down and God has to do something to honor his word. Some of them fellas just as wretched as they can be.
Right.
Why, they're not even overcoming and living a Christian life. But the Bible said to as many as believe, gave he power to become the sons of God.
Amen.
I want to be a son of God. It's my desire. I know that I am a son of God. By faith in Christ. I know that I am the Son of God by the foreknowledge of Jesus Christ. But I also know the Word says I must become a Son of God as far as being manifested in the flesh. Just as God was a spirit and he was manifested in a human body, he was proved to be the Son of God by the power of the Spirit of holiness. He was declared by the power of God to be a son of God and the first brother among many brethren. If I can live a holy life, and I can do it, if I've got the nature of Jesus Christ, Paul said there's nothing that can separate me from the love of God. Heights can't do it. He said depths can't do it. Things present can't do it. Things that are unseen can't do it. He said, angels can't do it, principalities can't do it, sickness can't do it, and poverty can't do it. Nothing can separate me from the love of God, Paul. The love of God is so strong, it will hold me under any condition if I really got it. If God so loved me while I was a sinner and wandering around the world when I had no desire for God, when I had no time for God, to come and search for me and look for me and to pursue me. How much more does he love me now that I've been reconciled by the death of his son on the cross and have the blood atonement? If he loved me so much, he would look for me when I was wretched and blind and didn't even have any desire for me. How much more does he love me now that I'm trying to live right? Nothing can separate us from the love of God. A lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, don't you know that I came to God? I saw God. That's why God saved me. That's not Bible.
No.
That's not Bible. You never saw him. He saw you. He said, I came to seek the lost sheep. I came seeking and searching. He said, you never chose me, but I've chosen you. Say, well, what about all them people that's going to be lost out yonder, Brother Pike, that God chose? Jesus said, Father, I thank thee that not a one of them will be lost that you gave me.
Right.
Every one that you gave me, he said, I'll raise them up for the last day, and I've not lost a one of them except the son of perdition.
Right.
The son of perdition. You say, well, what about that fell by the wayside? That was the son of perdition. What about them that started out with us and didn't make the grave? They were the children of perdition. He said, if it had been of us, they no doubt have continued with us. But they went out from us that it might be made manifest they were never of us. Well, you say they were stars just like we are, James said, but they were wandering stars.
Amen.
From pillar to post and from church to church and from door to door that never carried the load and never labored with the children of God. They were just reflectors. Scientists say that true stars are little suns. They got their own light. But wandering stars just reflect the light of others.
Uh-huh.
If you got a shadow over here, they'll be over there at your church.
Yes.
If you got a shadow over yonder, they'll be over yonder at that church. But brother, when it gets to the Word of God and comes to the taking of the load, they'll wander off.
That's right. The light's gone. And then when the light's shining, that's right. They don't want anything else. They're wandering star. James said, these are wells without water. The Bible said, he that boasteth himself of a false gift is like a well without water. And they boast themselves of the gift of the Holy Ghost when they don't have it. And James said, they're just wells without water. He said, they're wandering stars without any light, at whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. He said, they're raging waves of the sea that's ever foaming out the shade. That's right. That's about all you ever see out of them anyway. You get close enough to them and stay around them a little while, and you'll find out. But, so then the Bible said, to us that believe, he gave us power. We have power. You know, you can take an automobile, I don't know whether you've ever considered it or not, but on the engine part, or inside of the engine part, it's got oil that keeps it lubricated, keeps it working all the time, just like our spirit of life on the inside of our heart. It keeps us going, see, all the time. That's right. We have to have a daily refreshing.
Amen.
But then you take in the body of that car, it's got gasoline. But the gasoline is no good to it as long as it stays stored up in the tank. But in a little thing called a battery, it's got a stored up power that can give a spark or two, that can mix with a spray of gasoline, and with that little blaze of fire touches the gasoline, it creates a great explosion, and that car has power. Begins to move. And the Bible tells us that God has filled us with the Holy Spirit. He's baptized us with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible said he'll baptize us with the Holy Ghost and with fire.
Amen.
There ain't going to be no power until the fire ignites the Spirit. And here's what I believe with all of my heart. You say, where is the fire? Blood is a symbol of fire. When you get your fire, you have to go back to the cross. One night he loved to teach on the water, blood, and spirit.
Amen.
The Father's over here in the water rim, and the Son's over here in the fire rim, which is the blood. That's right. I can prove it to you tonight that blood symbolizes fire. That's why it says the moon will turn to blood. It'll turn to fire. Watch and see if I'm telling you the truth. Then you find the Holy Spirit over here in the angelic world or the spiritual realm. So the reason that we don't have the power to overcome is we've never mixed the word with the shouting. That's right.
Amen.
God has poured out his spirit upon us. And he's filled us up. And somebody said one time, ain't no need to fill some folks up because they leak.
Uh-huh.
And it all leaks back out. I wrote a song one time, my bucket's got a hole in it. Some people got a hole, they leak. But the thing is, the Bible says that God is a consuming fire. He said, I'll make my ministers a flame of fire. When the true ministers of God begin to come with the word, which is a consuming fire, and they begin to take that word and put that word in your heart, when you've got the Holy Ghost, it's going to be an igniting. It's going to be power.
Right.
You can be filled with the Holy Ghost, but you don't know what to believe unless you've got the word. And if you ain't got nothing to believe in, the Holy Ghost can't do nothing for you. Somebody said, now look at here, Brother Pike. The Holy Ghost can do what it wants to. Jesus said it'll testify of the word when it comes.
Amen.
That's right. What he said he'd do. He'll testify. Somebody said, but I believe he can do anything he wants to. Faith or no faith. Well, I've asked this question. If that be true, if Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and he was the Word yesterday, when the Word went into certain places, the Bible said many mighty miracles the Word could not do because of their unbelief. There wasn't no change in the Word. What was the trouble? Paul, when he spoke of the Jews, he said the Jews had the word. He said they had the word, but they didn't mix it with faith. And he said, not being mixed with faith, it did not profit them that heard it. You can hear it from now on.
Right.
He said, what do you mean profit? Well, listen, folks. It's going to have to do more than get faith. It's going to have to even get the Pentecostal people of today awake and interested in it.
Right.
They
right.
need awake. While this generation done gone to sleep. God said, well, if we had Paul preaching, they wouldn't do that. Yeah, he preached, and they wouldn't sleep on him, too.
Right.
It's always been the same. Yeah, but they'd listen. They'd be interested in what he said. The Bible said when he crossed over the sea and got over into Rome over there, the Jews come around, his own church folks now. The own church folks. Now when he talked to the Romans, they listened at him. But the Bible said when he talked to the Jews, he just shook his raiment and said, if you won't have it, God said it to somebody will.
Amen.
He said the Jews turned around and left and wouldn't listen to it. Read it for yourself.
Right.
They've always been like that. Why do they do that? Because the church world feels that there are certain privileged people that they've got it and they don't have to worry about it. And all the rest of them's outcasts anyway, and we can just rock a bye baby and we'll just go right on into the kingdom because we're his chosen. But I want to tell you again, the Bible said to as many as believe, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. I said here the other night, a lot of people when they get the Holy Ghost, they say, I've got it, Brother Pye. But you don't even get started until you get the Holy Ghost. They said, tarry at Jerusalem till you be endued with the power from on high. And then you can become the sons of God.
Amen.
Is that right?
Right.
Is that Bible?
Amen.
You've got to have an overcoming power, folks. If you don't have the overcoming power, you'll never become a son of God.
Amen. Right.
You've got to have the overcoming power. You say, well, what if I get it and don't use it? It ain't going to stay where it's not used. It won't stay. While he went into the land of the Gadarenes, and when the word went over to the land of the Gadarenes, the word stood there and worked a great miracle. Did he do it?
Right.
He said, well, there wasn't no faith over there. The Bible said when the man saw Jesus, even though he was bound with devils, he'd come running. He said, Lord, have mercy on me.
That's right.
Sure, he had faith in God. He'd been tormented. He said, but how did he know that was Jesus? I dare say the man didn't know, but the devils knew him.
Right.
The devils knew him.
Right.
No doubt them devils said, that's that man right there. That's that man.
No reason they rub their hand to try to cover up.
That's right. No doubt they said to Legion, that's the man right there that you've been hearing all this commotion about. That's him right there. The Bible said he ran down the hill to him. God has given us power. He has given us power. What kind of power? He has given us believing power. The Bible says Stephen was full of faith and full of power.
Right.
You know what happened to the church when he come out of the wilderness? You know what took place over there?
They come out, they shouted, they grabbed the temples, and they done any way they wanted to, and they said, God's with us. He done drowned with Pharaoh and his army back yonder in the Red Sea, and now we know he's on our side, and that takes care of everything. And they got out there, and when the wind got a little bit rough, they began to mumble and grumble and complain.
Man.
See, they thought because God drowned his Pharaoh, the way he won't have to do nothing, but like I said, just rock a bye baby, you know. God had everything, and he knows how hard bondage down there in Egypt, and he knows how they've mistreated us, and now we're out here, and he's done come down there and got us, and we're going to coast along now. But they found out it wasn't that way. Folks, the church is in a wilderness. They're in a dry place. They're wandering through dry places, seeking rest and can't find it. Why? Because Satan has got his kingdom set up between heaven and earth. And when you get out of the rims of the world where God has given a little portion of life, you have to cross those dry places to get up yonder into heaven. That's right. To get to the Canaan land, they had to go by the way of the wilderness, had to go through the dry places.
Right.
Everything is spiritually dry. You say, why, Brother Pye? Did you know that if you let water come down from out of heaven on a desert, did you know that you'll nourish all the insects that's in the ground, all the roads of the prairie, prairie dogs and snakes, every wild growth, did you know that they'll feed off of it? You know the only way to get rid of those things is just let it be so dry it will finally kill them out. God is letting it be so dry that you'll kill out that evil that you've got in your heart and you'll start searching for God. He's letting the pestilence be killed out. He sends wintertime to kill the pestilence out. Then after wintertime goes over, he sends summertime to bring the life back out into them that's really got life. They'll begin to bud again. They'll begin to come forth. Have you ever noticed that Jesus, ever noticed that the resurrection doesn't come till springtime? God does everything just right. He doesn't come till springtime because it's a type. The natural has to be resurrected when Christ comes out. He's got control over everything. So then God has let the church go through the dry places and everything is dry. They don't have any shout in them anymore. Oh, they make believe. They're still making believe. They do it like they do in the honky-tonks. They get a brass band and still make believe. You can beat on a brass band, a drum, or guitar, or organ, or something until finally you make somebody do something. But that isn't the inspiration of God. I know we use all those things to help, but we know better than them. That's not the inspiration of God. The church might as well have confessed it. They're going through a dry place. I say, well, they just ain't preaching like they used to. That's not true. They have the same Moses with them when they went through the dry place they did down in Egypt.
That's right.
They had the same priest Aaron. They had the same Joshua. And Moses was more full of the Spirit than he ever had been at any time. He was more filled with the Spirit. Joshua was too. You say, what caused the trouble? The Bible said they murmured and complained. God proved them 40 years. He was trying to prove them, trying to make sure who wasn't making believe. Who really loved God? Who was willing to leave Egypt and stop looking back into Egypt in their heart? Stop turning around. Keep looking back out yonder, looking back out yonder. Saying, well, I know I'm living for God, but I think I can afford a home. I know I'm living for God, but I think I ought to have a new car. I know I'm living for God, but I think I ought to have this, I think I ought to have that. Looking back into Egypt in their hearts. He wanted to get rid of that. Wanted to get rid of that crew. How many remember when Gideon went around and he got that big army and he brought them out there? When he got them out there, God said, you got too many of them. All them big believers, Gideon. He said, you got a whole bunch of people. Somebody said, but you just go to Billy Graham's meeting and see what he's got over there. Gideon was having a Billy Graham meeting too that day, but he said that. So you just got a whole bunch of people. But you got a lot of them just following for the fishes and loaves. They don't care nothing about the Word of God. You do away with the fishes and loaves. You get the shout out of it and see how many got left. He said, Gideon, you got too many folks. He said, all them folks ain't sincere with you. He said, you go down there and prove them. Take them down to the waters and prove them. When he got down to the waters, he had just, as we say, a handful of people left.
Amen.
That's all he had. I know the Bible said about 6 million people or something like that come out of Egypt. Moses thought he really had done something, you know. But Paul come over and he said, all of them that's of Israel is, all of them that's with Israel is not of Israel. All of them people died except Moses. He was called on to be with God. Joshua and Caleb. You don't even give any record that I know of where Aaron even got in the priest. So then all of them was just making believe. But God raised up some people and took them in, didn't he?
Amen.
All right, I said all that to try to say this. They shouted, they done everything they could, but soon the shout gave out in spite of all they could do. And instead of shouting and dancing, old brother so-and-so was finding fault with old brother so-and-so. And when the preacher got up to preach, he preached too long, or he wasn't anointed the way they wanted to, or he didn't say what they liked. Or he got on somebody's toes. I was in the wrong place at the wrong time. And old sister so-and-so, they didn't have no more confidence in her. She didn't have no more confidence in old brother so-and-so. And they left off with a shout. They left off with a shout. And it wasn't nothing but just a mumble and grumble in the church, just like it is today. You said, was that a church? The Bible said it was a church in the wilderness. It was just a mumble and a grumble in the church. Why? Because it become dry. Said Ezekiel, they're very dry. Very dry. But the thing is, folks, he promised to give us land of rain. He promised not to leave us in the wilderness and let us die. He promised to take us up and get us out of the wilderness. You say, Brother Pike, we know that, but how is he going to do it? That's where the trouble is. The Bible teaches that they never moved out of that wilderness till they got the Word.
Amen.
And Moses went up into the mountain and brought them the Word. Why did God let them stop shouting? He couldn't talk to them while they shouted.
That's right.
Right.
Somebody said, well, there's having a Jubilee time when Moses come down off the mountain. Yeah, they were.
Right.
Over the offering. They were having a Jubilee time, all right, over the offering. Somebody gathered up all the jewels and everything they could get, including their shoes and everything else. Everything that God had brought out to build a tabernacle with. Somebody got down there and had collected all the necklaces and earrings and went over there and built a golden calf out of it.
Man.
And when Moses started down off the mountain, he heard him shouting down there in the valley, and he listened. He said, well, that's not a victory shout. There must be some other kind of shouts in the world, Brother Ben. Why, in our day, he just said that's a rock and roll shout. That's what it is. There wasn't no shout to it as far as victory. You say, Brother Pike, how do you know this ain't a victory shout? Because he said this is the victory that overcometh the world, even your faith.
Amen.
And you're saved by faith, and I don't see the world overcoming the church.
Amen.
It looks to me like the church is overcoming them, sicknesses and everything else. So he said they're just having a shout over the altar. When he went down there, he took the law and he just threw it down. He said, there's you are. That's where you are right there. That's the ministry of today. He said, that's the ministry of today right there. See it? That's what you've done. All you've done is with your bebop and your short hair and everything else, you just trample over God's word and you're in bondage to everything. That's why the serpents are biting you. That's why the trouble in the land.
Amen.
That's why it's so dry and no spirit among them. Somebody said, I think it's the ministry. The minister was doing all right back there. It wasn't a ministry. God had a good ministry in reserve. There wasn't no trouble with the ministry. The Bible said the people was looking back into Egypt and their heart. That's where the trouble was. The last days will be a famine for the hearing of the word, not the preaching of the word. All right? What happened? When God got them set down to where they listened, they couldn't do nothing else. They couldn't shout. They couldn't shout out. So finally said, well, we don't want to listen, but ain't nothing else we can do. That's just about the way they are. They don't want to listen. They just rather you wouldn't do it. They'd rather you give them a 15-minute one and go home. After all, they got to go to their jobs, and they got to feed their bellies, and they got to pay for something else to sleep on, the car to ride in, feed their belly some more, get up and feed their belly some more. And the Bible said all their labor is for their belly because their belly craves it all. You mean all a man's labor is for his belly? That's what the Bible said. And Paul said, preach the word. He said, all of their labor is for their belly because their belly craves it all. David said, let their table become a snare to them. Is that right? That's their belly. They made their belly their God. All they think about is what they want for their belly. All right. I'm going to try to close here. Now then, he finally got them stopped to where they listened, and he got them stopped shouting. And when he finally got them stopped shouting, then they were willing to listen. So Moses, he went back up on the mountain again, fasted and prayed again. He come back down. He didn't get a new law. He didn't get a new revelation. He has had to pray that they choose. That's all he had for them.
Right.
He come down with the same word of God that was in the beginning. And they had it in.
Right.
They had to accept it in the end. Didn't he do it?
Right.
The
right.
same word of God. Did they get victory? Marched around the walls of Jericho and the walls of Jericho tumbled down.
Amen.
They went into Canaan land
Amen.
And found the thing they were looking for.
Amen.
And I say that in the beginning when God gave the word, we had a revival. And when they come back to the Word of God, we'll still have a revival.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. You believe that's the truth?
Yes.
I believe with all of my heart that we're going to have to come back to the Word of God.
Yes, amen.
The thing that we need, folks, is the Word of God. And God's going to give it to us. He's going to give it to us.
The people have gotten into such a place they know they're going to have it because His Word, He sent His Word and healed them. He sent His Word and saved them. With His Word, He cast out the unclean spirits. God is the Word, and without the Word, you ain't got no God. You might have disciplines and doctrines and ideology and golden calves and everything else. But this is my God right here.
Amen.
The God of Jacob and the God of Abraham.
Amen.
This is my God.
Hallelujah.
And when we get back to the Word, then we'll have the same God that led them to victory.
Right.
Let me say this in closing. I want you to stand with me. I'm really going to close here. Appreciate you listening. Do you know what they did with the golden calf? I want you to listen to this, folks. When Moses came down there with that law, this is what he done. He said, all you bunch of hypocrite preachers. That was the essence of it. He said, I'm going to take this golden calf and I'm going to grind it up. And I'm going to put it out here in the waters and I'm going to make you drink it. Somebody said, now what are you talking about? How many of you know waters is a type of people?
Right,
all these boys that took offerings and took offerings to build these big places around the water with shallowest offering. God's going to grind that up and drop. And He's going to put it in the mind of the people. And then people is going to become bitter toward those men. You watch what I tell you. And they're going to rail on them. And they already begin to do it. They begin to criticize them. They begin to mock them. They're beginning to do it right now. And you know what? They're looking for the truth. The Bible said He ground it up and He put it in the water and He made them drink. And it made the waters bitter. People becoming bitter, these fellows. You say, well, what have they done to become bitter? I've got a friend over young that sold his home and sold his land. You say, did he do right? He done right. The Bible said in the early church they sold what they had. They brought it and laid it down at the feet of the apostles.
Right.
But the thing is the ministry doing right with it?
Man.
That's the thing. Are they doing the right thing with it? Well, let's just see. I heard one of them bought a modern hotel out here, a motel out here. That's right. Heard one of them had a heart attack. Bought a modern motel. Bought his son a nice new automobile. That's one of the things I heard. I heard that some of them opened up bank accounts and put it in banks overseas because they got so much. They think the government's getting too much taxes off of it. They done started making movies and everything else. And I think it's all right to make films. I'm not against it if you can glorify God that way. But they get to where they're, instead of making films with Jesus in action, it's making films with me in action.
Right.
What it is. Watch me.
Right.
Trying to be movie stars. That's right. I heard one of them just made a movie with somebody out there. I don't know who it was. But one of the men that was on the team here not too long ago, I think he just had a movie. He just made a movie with some of them out there.
Right.
Ones that ain't making movies with them is making their own movies.
Right.
Our greatest leader, as far as wanting to fill the Yankee Stadium up, made a movie called All Town, I believe it was. I tell you, I just don't believe it like that. I just don't see it like that, folks. I don't believe it like that. You watch, the water's going to get bitter after a while.
Man.
That Antichrist is going to come on the scene. And we're going to go out of here and leave them to drink the waters. I don't want to be here. When they get bitter, I don't want to be around, Brother Ben.
Amen.
I don't want to be around. That's right. Old Samuel said, I didn't take nothing from you. I ain't bothered you. Said, I tried to tell you the truth. But you want the king.
Amen.
He said, now that you've got him, you put all of your bondage, your children, everything else, got your laboring farm. God's the head. He's the king. We don't need nothing but a few judges and rulers until he gets here. That's
right.
We need the word. He's the king.
Right.
They have the word, but wouldn't accept it. Let's bow our heads.